Today's scripture is from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down.
This past week, Brian and I took my dad and my brother, who are also here this morning, up to the north shore of Lake Superior. We had a great time. It truly is beautiful. It makes you fall in love with this crazy cold state. I believe that besides the beauty of Lake Superior, one of our favorite times on the trip was when we visited Grand Portage National Monument. How many of y'all have been to that? Okay, next year every hand needs to raise. It's an incredible place. It's a park that's run by the National Park Service with the blessing and support of the Ojibwe. The park has a great museum, and they have recreated the Northwest Trading Company, buildings and all, the fur trading. We learned the history of the relationship between the British-owned Northwest Trading Company and the Ojibwe. The relationship was a good one, by the way. Both the owners and the Ojibwe made money or received material items that both needed and wanted and desired. The Ojibwe showed the British fur trappers the grand portage that had to be used over the rough terrain, and the owners of the Northwest Trading Company supplied the Ojibwe with items they needed and then some. Due to the terrain of the North Shore, there were Ojibwe and fur traders, trappers, who were stationed along the grand portage, that they would stay in those stations through all of the fur trapping season. At the end of the season, everyone, fur traders, trappers, owners, Ojibwe, would gather at the Great Hall at the Trading Company on the shore of Lake Superior for a big celebration called the Rendezvous. This would be a time of eating and drinking and dancing in celebration of the hard work and the money made. Ojibwe and everyone associated with the Northwest Trading Company in that area would participate in the big celebration, even the women. Such is the celebration that is happening in Bethlehem at the end of the harvest. The crops have been harvested and brought in. Everyone worked hard, and everyone has been working hard for days, weeks, and now it's time to relax and celebrate the goodness of the bounty. For Boaz, the barley is all in, and on this particular night, he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. He will be separating the chaff from the grain that has already been threshed. It's already been loosened. When this point in the harvest is reached, then it's time for eating and drinking, much like the rendezvous for fur traders. Everyone is partying, and in the case of the threshing floor in Bethlehem, there's a real good chance that women are also included in this celebration. While at the monument, we watched a movie about the life shared between the Ojibwe and the fur traders, and I was struck by the images and the stories around the rendezvous. Partly because I've had Ruth chapter 3 on my brain wondering, how in the world do I preach about this? And I began to wonder what happened to the women at the rendezvous. There was a lot of drinking. And even though the women were part of the fur trading business, I can't shake the feeling that there were women who were not safe at these celebrations. Maybe that's because it wasn't always safe for the women in Bethlehem when the big celebrations happened at the end of the barley harvest. The threshing floor was traditionally associated with sex for hire. So associated that Hosea says that the people of God have play as a prostitute departing from God. You have loved a prostitute's pay on all threshing floors. In Genesis, in the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But Leah said to Rachel, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel says, "That's fine. You may lie with him tonight on the threshing floor for your son's mandrakes." Obviously, prostitution involved men and women on that threshing floor. It's hard to shake the prostitution that goes on in many of our big parties today. Super Bowl? Yeah, it's there. Big conventions in town? Yeah, it's there. In Duluth and many other ports, when the big ships make it back to port after winter, women are brought to the ships for prostitution. Present-day human trafficking. The plight of many women and men for generations. And so this causes me to read chapter 3 of Ruth with trepidation and with much care. It is a tough chapter because, well, we are in church. And we don't normally discuss the activities of the threshing floor in our sermons. And yet it is in this raw, very human experience of the threshing floor that we may just learn of redemption. Naomi knows that it's the end of the harvest and that Ruth will not have any reason to go into the fields again. We remember that Ruth had caught the eye of Boaz, the owner of some of the fields in which she gleaned, and it turns out that he is in some way related to Elimelech, her father-in-law who died in Moab. Boaz has been very kind and gracious to Ruth, a foreigner, a real foreigner, because as you remember, every week I've told you, God told the Israelites not to welcome the Moabites because they did not offer food or water to them when they left Egypt. Boaz has made sure that Ruth had water and that Naomi and Ruth both have had food. He also shared bread and wine with Ruth, dipping the bread into the wine and giving it to her. This brought Naomi hope, but now it's the end of the harvest. And if Ruth doesn't catch more of Boaz's eye, then Naomi and Ruth may go through a season without food and security. So Naomi comes up with a plan for Ruth to dress her in her finest clothes and go to the threshing floor. See the problem with this text that Elaine even alluded to. Naomi tells Ruth to dress up real pretty and go to the place that prostitutes go. Go to the place where women are purchased for sex. Go to that place and wait until Boaz is fat and happy, full on food and drunk from wine. Watch where he lies down, and then go and lie down beside him and uncover his feet, which is a euphemism for having sex and or a signal that, hey, you can have me. Ruth does as Naomi plans, to the point that the text says that Ruth came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. Here are two women who literally have nothing but each other. It is the end of the harvest season, and survival is all that's on their minds. Boaz has shown kindness. In fact, he has shown hesed, faithful love, kindness to Ruth, as Ruth has shown to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth, being a foreigner, an outsider, a true outcast, makes survival even more difficult. If one is trying to find a way to survive, the threshing floor is a place one could very easily wind up. No redemption there. Only the result of those who have nothing having to sell themselves to survive. Naomi told Ruth that Boaz will tell her what to do once she's uncovered his feet, but that's not what happened. Instead, Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night at midnight and is startled to see a woman lying there. He asks who it is, and Ruth answers, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." In chapter 2, Boaz had offered a blessing upon Ruth, as you remember, that the Lord would reward her good deeds toward her mother-in-law, and she would have a full reward from the Lord, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Same Hebrew word is used here for wing and cloak. So Ruth is being very bold in saying to Boaz, "Spread your wing over me that I may have refuge." It is also the imagery of entering into a covenant, pledging oneself to the one over whom the wing or cloak will cover. So Ruth is basically making a marriage proposal to Boaz. You gotta love her. Now, Boaz is assumed to be older than Ruth, and she is a foreigner, and it's a threshing floor. So except that Ruth is a Moabite, Boaz could sleep with Ruth and give her some grain or money, and no one would ever question his actions except that it was a Moabite. It's survival for the women, and after all, the threshing floor is all about the party at this point. Instead, Boaz asks for another blessing upon Ruth. May you be blessed by the Lord. This last instance of your loyalty is better than your first. You have not gone after young men, rich or poor. And now do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. For all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. Wow. A foreigner willing to sell herself if needed to be able to feed herself and her mother-in-law comes to the threshing floor, and a man is so touched by that that she did not go after a young, rich, or poor man, that he calls her a worthy woman. This place where women and men are bartered for grain or whatever, this place that people caught today in human trafficking are forced to visit every day, several times a day, in this place, I have nothing left to sell but myself. Someone with the power to abuse instead offers grace, kindness, hesed, and offers value and worth to the lowest of the low. The funny thing is, Boaz eyes Ruth as him, as her offering him worth and value, an older man, by claiming him as the one that should marry her, as one of her father-in-law's next of kin. This was the law. You were supposed to take care of your next of kin. But it appears there's another relative that's a closer relation that Boaz needs to see if that man is going to step up and marry Ruth. So Boaz tells Ruth she can remain there through the night, and they will see about the intentions of the other relative in the morning. So Ruth does as he said, but she got up before anyone could recognize her because Boaz said, it must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. No, Boaz is saying, Ruth, you will not be viewed as a prostitute. Maybe it is true that redemption, hesed, the kindness, the love of God can be found in the midst of a place where human dignity is stripped away and someone offers worth, kindness to another. Ruth goes home to Naomi as one of worth. She went as a prostitute, or almost a prostitute. With the promise of a wedding, either to Boaz or to the man who is a closer relative ahead, Naomi now has worth again too, for her daughter-in-law has worth. Now let's be clear. Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, they all had worth and value in eyes of God, even Ruth as a Moabite. But for the women to have life in that day and age, after Naomi's husbands and sons died, they had to have a male relative claim them, for them to be redeemed as members of the community. That's hard for us to understand today. But what would it mean for those who are caught in human trafficking? For those who are taken to ships as prostitutes? Those who are promised to those with big money at our big celebrations like Super Bowls? What would it mean to have someone speak up and offer a wing of refuge and a reminder of the worth and value with which God has created each person? What would it mean? It would mean redemption. Redemption for the person caught in a horrible way to survive, and redemption for the one who knows and sees and does something about it. It's a tough text, isn't it? We love our celebrations. We have been celebrating since, I don't know, before the beginning of time, I'm sure. But let us not forget the threshing floor. That place where in the midst of the celebration, filled with big money, drinks, and food aplenty, there are those who are entering the threshing floor under their own will, or not under their own will, just to survive. Thanks be to God that Ruth and Boaz show that there can be a different ending to the story of the threshing floor, an ending of redemption. May God's loving kindness, may God's hesed redeem us all. Amen.